Gentlemen, I want to tell you something interesting. There has been, there is that story. There is a story that happened in Bnei Brak, that there was a Yid that. It's a whole long story, and I don't remember all the details, but it's not so important what the details are. The point is that somebody had problems with in the brain, and they made various tests, and it turned out that he needed brain surgery, and he went to a very senior doctor in Eretz Yisrael, who suggested and advised to make a certain kind of surgery. This Yid, I think it was a lady actually, this woman then sent her husband to go to the Chazon Ish, and his whole story how that all came about. And the Chazon Ish then said, ask the doctor how he's doing the surgery, because I think it should be done in that particular way. And then they went back to the surgeon and said, oh wow, that's incredible, such a good idea, and I'll do it like that. And then he did, and whatever, the rest is history. I was always very skeptical to that story, because despite the fact that we all know, you know, the Chazon Ish, I just happened to have a picture of him today. Isn't that amazing? Just completely random. I just happened to have a picture. It's just literally ended up in my pocket today. So, Hadik Chazon Ish. So, we all know about the greatest of Chazon Ish, but it's a long shot from being the God Hadoi to being able to advise senior surgeon how to make a surgery. You know, it's a big difference. But, so I was always very skeptical about that story. I don't think I said it because I was skeptical about it and I wasn't sure until a little. It does make sense in a way because if you Chazon Ish was a tremendous book in the Torah, everything is in the Torah, and I suppose it does. If you know Cholin really well, you know about Mum. So apparently he was based on a Tosfos in Cholin. Don't know which Tosfos, but he had some. So, but then this resurfaced in Manor. What you've got over here is clearly, without a question, the handwriting of the Chazon Ish. And it says of Lichvoid, he writes the name of the professor. It says Professor Ashkenazi. He was a brain surgeon of world renown. And Chazon Ish tells him how to do it. And you can see clearly a picture here of how to penetrate and do the brain surgery. This is a picture. It's a picture, and this is clearly the Chazon Ish handwriting. You can even see the signature in the back. And it says Nol Havros Zelahanal. Please show it to the professor. Kifidati. That's how you need to do it. Pikuach Nefesh. And that's how you got to do it. This is the picture. So that's all the skeptics down the drain. All the skeptics down the drain. And this you can clearly recognize. The Chazon Ish handwriting, no question about it. In fact, I got some chizik from it. So I asked, there is a very well known professor in America, Professor Mark Shapiro. He's like a historian and a professor, very skeptical and very anti- And I sent him that email. I sent him an email, I said, Dear Professor Shapiro, I've got this copy of the Chazon Ish's instructions how to make a brain surgery, no less. Chazon Ish never touched in his whole life a medical book, I guarantee you. He never touched a medical book in his whole life.
I think I read that he did actually sometimes look into medical journals.
No, not the Chazon Ish, he had all his wisdom from the Torah. And I asked Professor Shapiro, he's a very senior, he wrote a few books on history and very skeptical. So I asked him, have you got any doubts on this? What can you say? And he replied to me and he said, this is perfect evidence in the case. Absolutely no question about it. Yes, Chazon Ish suggested and advised how to make brain surgery. There you go. Hadik Chazon Ish. Unquestionably, I think it's really, really amazing. Imagine that. Paskening from Chulin, how to make brain surgery. I think that's very, very impressive. Now, just a little footnote to that. Absolute footnote to that. I printed this out in school today. I just printed it out, actually, because I wanted to show it to the, in Sam, to the girls. But I printed it out. And then I don't have a very good quality print in my office. I printed it in the main reception office. And I printed it out, and then the guy who is the secretary, he says, "Oh, you got this? He always has to poke his nose and everything." I print it. It's just, okay. It could have been very confidential, you know. He says, "Oh, you got the Chazon Ish's essay." He says, "Yeah, I want to tell you a story." He says,
"Yeah, his grandfather was the one who was operated."
That's it. Nearly. Close. Very close. Very close. You're good. His name is Shayo, and I never realized. He says, you know, I'm named after the Chazanish. I says, oh, I never realized. Why? What's the story? He says, my parents were married for, I think he said, I forgot now, maybe 11 years or 17 years. I think he might have said 17 years. He had no children. And he said, my father then went to the cave of the Chazanish. He's from Nebak. He's from the cave of Chazanish. That night he had a dream. And he says, you're going to be benched to have a child. And just, you know, keep up your tefillahs and everything, you can imagine that. And lo and behold, rest of the story. Yeah, he had a child year later, and he called him Shayo. He named him after Chazanish. So, and this I heard from himself today. So this is not, what? Amazing place in Avon, yeah. I'm sure you went, yeah. Yeah, okay, I just want to share this with you. I thought this is quite phenomenal. Again, this is first hand. What do you think about this?
This is interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
My wife had brain surgery.
Oh, right. Yeah.
With quite a lot of interest.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is meaningful to non-clinicians. I don't know. But this is clearly a... The Zoomers. We'll give the honor to the Zoomers. And if you can see it. This is clearly the handwriting. There's no question about it. There's no question. It's very... You can see it very clearly. This you can see. Ish. Chazan Ish. It says how it sounds, the way it sounds as well. Yes. This is the Chazan Ish handwriting. This is the brain. Now, I don't know how and why and how this works, but this is a sketch of a brain. Okay, I thought, you know, if we... Torah has everything in it, as the Mishnah Ovah says, HaKol Bo VaHaKol Bo, HaFoich Bo VaHaFoich Bo, because everything is in it. So, yeah, even to such an extent as brain surgery. Okay, so, we're going to carry on a little bit more about the halachas of Kriyas Shema. Before we continue, I just want to ask you a short question. Chanukah, we never give shir, but I just had an idea. I would like to not to fall behind. We're B'chim doing very well, and we're on track, and we're doing very well. The pace is good, and I'm a bit concerned, not majorly concerned, a little bit concerned that if we have a whole Chanukah that we don't give shir. I think in the past, what was Chanukah in the past? There was no shir. Or was there? Anybody remembers?
We have
sometimes yes, sometimes not. We cancel a few. How do we do it? 8 o'clock share? We did that. It's only been 13 years share. I don't remember what we did. Jonathan will know. Jonathan?
See if this is recording from last year.
I don't remember.
Pardon?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I also don't remember. Okay, so I was just thinking, in case we don't... Are you able to come at 8 o'clock? Are you on?
Good.
Yeah?
No,
I mean,
the first
no.
night and Sunday. Sunday night.
Okay, but most
night... Where did the beginning happen?
Only begin. Okay. Shia, Shia, no Shia?
Most nights.
Okay, so... So bring them, and then we know for sure they're going to be. Okay, fine. So I just thought, in case we don't, then we should do pre-recordings. But let's develop Beis Hashem. Let's try to do that this year, unless we notify otherwise. Abayisar, we continue with halachas of Kriyas Shema. We completed Siman Ein Zayin. We'll be starting today with Siman Ein Ches. And this is the halacha today, which is following the Shal of Meir Aglaim. This is the case, gentlemen. Mission itzach lahotil mayim b'shas kiyo. Somebody that Meir Aglaim urine happened during Kriyas Shema. So hoyekayev is chidul Meir Aglaim shoshin al birkov. Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if a person says Shema? And again, it's not only Shema. Same will apply also any other tefillah they may be saying, but Meir Aglaim came out from his body, and there were choices in Albirkov. He was going down. So he says as follows: what are you meant to do? Poisek, you stop saying Shema, at sheyichlu amayim, until it stops. Vechoyze likoyz, and then you continue to say Shema. So whilst this happens, you stop, and then afterwards you can continue, which is very interesting. We'll address that shortly. Afilim naftu al begodav, even if it went on his clothing, v'yesh b'm tefeach, amanaz lahat fiach, even if it got soiled, his clothing got soiled and wet, kimen shem mechusim bevigdoy, since he's got an additional layer of clothing on top of it, therefore it's okay. So, some got wet, but there is layers of clothing on top of it, and therefore it's okay, which is dry. Correct. So you're saying that there's a kavod.
Yes, as well. Why was it
Very good. Yeah. So I want to get to. I'll just finish Shulchan Aruch, and I think we'll be able to answer some aspect of your question. We might be able to some of it, but let's just finish Shulchan Aruch. What happens if it just went onto the ground? You distance yourself 4 amos from the Meiraglaim, which is on the floor. Or other halachas which we're going to be learning in Pebes. If you're on earth, you just wait until it gets absorbed on the earth. Okay. Now, which is also an important halach. What happens if you waited so long that you're able to say the entire Shema? So, we learned previously that you lose your Shema if you have a long interruption, a long break. Do you remember we spoke about that? If a person says half Shema and then he has a break. Enough already, you know, it's too much pressure. You know, too much pressure. Shema is too much pressure. He's going out for a fag. I don't know, he's just going, he needs to just chill out for 5 minutes and then he comes back. So then, if it's long enough that he could say the entire Shema, he's lost Shema. You're okay to go for 20 seconds, that's okay. But if, let's say, Shema takes, how long? 3 minutes? How much is 30 seconds? What did you say? Yeah, if Shema takes a minute, you're left for a full minute plus, arguably, I'm just giving it a figure, yeah? If it takes 1 minute, you're out for a minute, you've lost your Shema. If your Shema takes 3 minutes, you're out for 3 minutes, you've lost your Shema. Now, here also, what happens if a person is having this incident and he's therefore waiting now, interrupting his Shema, for as long as it takes to say Shema. So, you haven't lost the entire Shema, you can just recap from where you stopped. So, in other words, you didn't lose Shema, just continue from where you stopped. Nobody agrees with that. Some say, no. Some say, no, you lost your Shema. You had a break, you had an interruption, whatever the reason may be, you lost your Shema. Now, the Mishnah of Cotton Aleph tells us this halacha doesn't only refer to Shema. Cotton Aleph first wide line in our editions. Who are din divrei Torah? Same will apply with divrei Torah letfila. Poisik achich lomayim nishto is certain you cannot say Torah, tfila, davening. You can't do any of that whilst a person is miraglaim coming out from his body, and a person has to stop and interrupt immediately. Now, Sifkot and Gimel, I think, will answer partially, to some extent, your question. Sifkot and Gimel is a big deal. We are talking about a case that he didn't get soiled from it. He didn't get dirty from it. If either he got dirty, if he got wet or dirty, yes, he needs to change. Of course he needs to change. Well, at the very, very least, he needs to cover himself and dry himself and sort himself out. We're talking about a case. Imagine a person, for instance, is wearing a robe or something like that, and it doesn't care. It doesn't affect him in any way. But of course, if a person is soiled and wet and dirty and he cannot concentrate, of course, he can't continue saying Shema in such a way. So that's that. It is that's in terms of this. But again, a person has to, if he's unable to clean himself, we'll have to. I'm saying a person has to change and clean himself if he can. Okay. Let's carry on with Simon Ein Test, page 222. Mishen is damelot tzoy b'shas kio. This is now a case of not somebody had neiraglaim, but no, somebody who had tzoya in the middle of kiyas shema. And again, it's not only kiyas shema. Ha'isot tzoyas odom me'achorov if there is tzoy behind him. Tzoyach lahachik abba amos mokum shekol areach. This is the halachas of reyach. As we mentioned previously, there's two aspects. One is that you're not allowed to be anywhere near. The pasuk tells us if there is tzoya, you're not allowed to be anywhere near tzoya. That's one halacha, v'hoya machanecha kodosh. And that we discussed, the person needs to cover it at the very, very least, or be in a different rishus. By the way, who asked yesterday about a mechitza? Who asked yesterday about mechitza? Somebody asked about mechitza. Oh, was it you? Yeah, I saw today, thank you for asking. I was unsure about it yesterday. Today I saw the person speaking about it, and guess what? Give two guesses. Yes, some say, and the others. So it is a machlokes. It's very relevant in the. Imagine a person is in a hospital and there is those curtains, mechitzas. Will that separate? So there's a person on the other side of the mechitza. Can you, on your side on your part of the hospital, on your what is that called? On your
partition.
Yeah, on your partition, can you say Shema or not? So many poskim, what did you say?
Cubicle.
Yeah, it's called cubicle, if there's just curtains. Yeah? So the poskim say that there's machlokes, some say you can, some say you can't.
You can't be a star from minyan because you're in your own cubicle, you can't see the next
minyan. Yeah.
So why should that?
So therefore what?
So therefore it's a separate issue, so what's the machlokes?
Right, so because some say that very often it will not separate totally because you sometimes have more than three tvachim from the floor. I don't know exactly what I never investigated it.
There's a gap.
Which makes into not a good mechitza. So it could be that in terms of hilchas mechitza, Asur B'Shem Zalman is busy about that. So sometimes hilchas mechitza may not suffice. Yeah. Also, there is a difference between mechitza for tefillin and mechitza for. It might be a bit different. But anyway, they often speak about it. But I think that many poskim are lenient and say that it is a good mechitza, and you can it serves as a separating
ashus. This is aside from the heter you brought from Orav Chusay about.
Yeah, that's even if you don't. Absolutely, that's if you leave that. That's a separate approach. Correct.
But
yeah.
So if there's no mechitza.
Yeah. So based on what we said yesterday, yeah, that would still be relevant. But here was going a different approach. You know, Shlomo Zalman often would say different svaros, and sometimes it contradict each other, but each of them is true. So now the question over here is, we discussed the halachas of tzor, now reach. The question of reach, if there's smell. So here it says, you have to distance yourself. You have to distance yourself 4 amas from where the smell is. So not, you can't, the halach is not, you're allowed to daven. Where is no reach? No. You're allowed to daven 4 amas. From where the reach is good. The lomdus behind it is, what's the lomdus behind it? Those of you who learned Shabbos or Bar Mitzvah, 4 amas? Exactly. 4 amas is the reshus of a person. 4 amas around you, reshus of a person. So therefore, the vort is, the lomdus is, that you need to have 4 amas of clean, v'hoya, machanecho, kodosh, of pure air, of night, it has to be perfectly kodosh. So if there is reach penetrating in your arba amas, the poskim say, even if you can't smell it at the moment, but it's not, you don't have 4 amas, which are, if we can call it kodosh, you need to have those 4 amas. That's a very lomdish vault. So therefore, you need to have 4 amas. I never knew exactly how you measure that, practically speaking. I don't know how you figure that exactly, because reach is not something which is, so the threshold is never so glass clear, not so sharp. But the halacha says 4 amas from where the reach stops. Afilim yeish loicholish enim reach. Shulchan Aruch address: what happens if somebody has got a chronic blocked nose, or a sinus issue? You know, my brother-in-law. What about brother-in-law? The shochet. Ari, he had sinus operations when he was a teenager. Since then, he's completely lost the sense of smell. So like some of us, you know, during COVID, lost a week or two there, he has that on a chronic, constant issue. And I always find it very interesting that when it comes to Birmingham Psalm, Motzei Shabbos, he cannot make the bracha himself. He can't smell. He really can't smell. Very, very bad. Maybe some very extreme smells, maybe he can smell, but on average day to day, he cannot rely on his sense of smell at all, which is one of his senses are lost. So the question is, in this case over here, of Afilim Yeshlich, what if a person cannot smell? What if a person cannot smell? But is Reach Ra? Are you able to daven, or is he not able to daven?
Probably not.
Why? Very good, in that domain. It's quite lomdish, really. It's a lomdish of all. It's not that, you're right, that's the halacha. It says, v'afilum yesh, I'm turning over to the next page, and even if, yesh l'choyli sheni merach, even if he's unable to smell, tzorich, you must lehachik, to distance yourself, arba amos, 4 amos, mimokim, from the place, sheyich l'arach. You have to distance 4 amos from where the smell ceased, l'mishmerach, to somebody who would be able to smell. So that's a fascinating halacha. The poskim therefore ask the following shaila. I know Reb Chaim Kanevsky has got that discussion and other. So therefore, which is a very relevant case. Imagine there's a certain smell. Say you are, the pipes, or there is the thing came up or something like that, and it's going to take a while until the smell goes away. Question is, could you, in theory, take these sprays? What are they called? Air fresheners. Yeah, the air fresheners, and spritz around. You go through two full things, and then after say, okay, now I'm saying Shema. Would that work or not? It's a very interesting shaila that. Now I don't know. I'm not scientifically well versed, and I don't know exactly how that operates, but. What would you say?
Neutralize it.
Does it really neutralize it? Is that how chemically how it works? Mm-hmm. Are you neutralizing the smell, or is it just called a neutralizer?
It does it for a while, maybe.
No, you're tricking your senses.
You're tricking your senses. It's overriding that smell, probably, yeah? Is that how it works?
Probably.
What would you say? Spitzing away.
That can be very pungent.
Air pressure is also, yeah, absolutely. But that smell will not affect the halachos of Kriyas Shema. You could still smell, it may not be a nice smell. I know what you mean. I also don't like these chemicals. But in terms of Shema, you could say Shema even if it bothers you. What would you say? If you spritz away a whole thing. So the poskim want to compare, and I can hear those who cholek.
Smell still there.
Smell still there. So B'chaim Kanevsky says, yeah, the smell is still there. You're overriding it, you're overpowering it, but you're not neutralizing it. Even if it's called a neutralizer, you're not really neutralizing it. The smell is there. Now, I don't know how I don't know enough science to know if that's really how it works or not. But the maisa, the smell is there, and you're just overpowering it. And therefore, Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, just like somebody who's unable to smell, he still can't say Shema in this environment. So too, if you're spritzing, you can't, and you're only smelling the good odor, still you can't say Shema. So what do you say about that as well? Accepted, not accepted? What do you think?
I think you wouldn't be able to still, because it's still there.
The bad smell is still there. Yeah. So, So I think that many poskim would say that. I think a lot of poskim would say that you're not allowed to say Shema, Daven, Brochas, etc., even if you neutralize the smell with a spray. It's interesting. Yeah. Going back now to the non-reachro situation. So we are switching now back to not to the Reach Ra, but to the Metzias of Tzoyah. Halacha continues as follows. I want to just complete Siv Aleph. Umilfonov Tzoyach Lahachig Moloyeinov. If there is Tzoyah in front of you, you have to distance yourself as far as you can see. So if you're davening in front of a dump where there is potentially Tzoyah, as long as you can see it, you're not allowed to daven. V'afilu b'layla, even by night, you're not allowed to, you can't see it, it's dark. But you can't. There's tzoya there. Or shusuma. If a person cholil is blind, he can see. He can't see the tzoya. Can't daven because there's tzoya there. Shein royosa. Even if he doesn't see it, tzoch lehachik at mokhem. He has to distance himself until the place she eino yochal lirois b'yoim. Till you can't see it anymore. As long as you see it, you cannot daven. Vimu mitzidoi kim lachorov. If it's on the side, then it doesn't matter as much. And all you need to ensure is your dalet amas from the. From where the Reacho stops. So the side and back, you just need to ensure this Dalet Amos. Shliach Tzibur HaMispalel. What if you are davening for the Amud? V'tzoy beveis HaKnesses, and it's tzoy in shul. Unfortunate circumstances, beveis, or in the house, Mispalel Shom. Afilu la'achorov b'chol ha'beis, even if it's in the back, tzoy chlish toik ad she'etzi'eno, he has to be quiet until it's being taken away from the shul. There's an extra chumra when it comes to a person davening for the Amud. You are moitzi others, you cannot be in the room if there's tzoyah in the room at all, even if it's behind you. Extra chumra in terms of a shliach tzibur. And certainly there's somebody in the community who is within Dalet Amos from the tzoyah, so you have to just stop If a shliach tzibur is aware that there is tzar in the room, he has to stop now. Wait until it's removed. And come on, Simon Sadi. Right, that's the end of Sif Alf. Rabbi said to summarize what we learned this evening. So, what did we learn? We learned that in Simon Ein Ches, we learned that if there is a meyer glaim exiting his body, as long as he is, he has to stop saying Shema. If, however, afterwards he's dry and he's not bothered, he can say Shema. If the break was very long, we've got a machloekes Shulchan Aruch Rama, if he has to go back from where he started or from where he stopped, where the interruption took place. Rama paskens, you have to go to the beginning of Shema if such an incident happened. Then we learned in Simon Ein Test that there's a loch of Dalet Amas from the Reach Ra. Dalet Amas from where the Reach Ra stopped, that you need to have an extra Dalet Amas. Otherwise, it's considered within you Dalet Amas, you can't say Shema from the Reach Ra, despite the fact you can't smell. Shinovdin proceeds and tells us if somebody is unable to smell, it's still not an excuse. He still has to remove himself Dalet Amas from where the smells ceased. In terms of in front of you, there's an extra Chumah, do not see that soya, anything in front of you, even it's Banait. It cannot be visible at all, even if it has to be as far as distance in the front as could be potentially visible. We also learned onto the side, this halacha wouldn't apply. Side is not at distance. In terms of a shliach tzibur, anything in the reshus will be ma'akev, because certainly you can't be moitzid rabim if there's tzoya in the room. And these were the halachas we discussed this evening. We'll continue mitzvah from Seif Beis tomorrow. Have a very pleasant evening.